Oh my god, how long has all of this been in here?
I don't know. Are you sure it's only going to take us 15 minutes to clean out this podcast pantry? I'm dubious.
I don't know, but we gotta do it or it'll just take longer when we finally get around to it. Like, we need to... Okay, we need to, like, set a day, like, once every couple of weeks or once a month to just clear out the podcast pantry, take out the cereal boxes, check every expiration date, throw out everything that we either don't use or is expired.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, let's... You know what? You start from the top, I'll start from the bottom, we'll meet in the middle.
Why do I have to go to the top?
Actually, you start from the bottom. I want to feel tall.
Yeah, you know, that's better. Oh, boy. I'm surprised the rats haven't gotten to half of this junk already.
We have rats?
I mean, look at this right here. Take this. Does it have an expiration date on it?
I don't see one. Do you know what's in here?
No clue. I didn't check the label.
The label says episode 8. We didn't release that yet?
Wait, what? Episode 8?
I thought we released it like a year ago. We recorded that in like July 2021. It's September 8th, 2022.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's the one with Charlie and Ella from Mystery Shack Look Back, right?
Oh my god, they're gonna be so mad. I thought we released it forever ago.
Oh boy.
Let me open it and see if it's still good. Ow!
Hey, you alright?
I'm bleeding. Oh god damn it. Okay, something happened in the UK.
What? How do you know that?
I don't know what... My blood is green and vibrating.
Oh. Does that mean something bad?
It just means something. I don't know. The green is my Irish genes, and the vibrating is my English genes trying to combat them. Like, they kind of, like, fight each other whenever something contentious happens in the UK, but I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay, if you say so.
We'll check the news later. Right now, we need to release this episode.
Yes, yes. Give it here. Give it here. Let me take a smell. I mean, it smells all right. It's probably still good, huh?
Yeah, it's probably good. There wasn't, like, an expiration date on it.
Sounds good.
AJ.
Yeah?
What does it all mean?
I don't really know. I'm sure there's probably some hidden map out there that can tell us what this all means, but I haven't found it.
Oh,
and frankly,
AJ,
I'm not...
AJ.
Huh?
Don't freak out.
What?
Don't look...
Please don't tell me there's a spider on me.
There's not, but I think we were followed.
What?
There's someone in this cave with us.
Oh my god, how did they find us? Did you leave butterscotch wrappers around again?
You know I don't like butterscotch.
Fine, were they root beer candy wrappers then?
You know I don't like root beer. It was Hershey Kisses, okay? It doesn't matter, we were followed. What do you guys want from us?
Well, for one, you shouldn't litter.
Do you really think we weren't able to find you?
Leaving all this tinfoil all over the place. That's bad for the environment.
I'm just trying to be environmentally conscious.
Well, I don't want to just carry it around.
Okay, get like a fanny pack or something.
Hello.
Hi, hello. Can I interest you in any of these?
I'm selling these fine leather fanny packs.
So that's why we were followed.
Ooh, I like that. I like that holographic one.
Oh no, that's not for sale. That's mine.
You know, I don't really care for this unsolicited salesmanship.
It feels like someone
wants to sell me something.
These candy bar bag carrying bags.
Guys, AJ doesn't know SpongeBob references. I learned that the hard way.
Oh my god, AJ! What a show besides DuckTales!
Give me a break! My mom thought it would rot my mind, alright? And I never cared to watch it afterwards.
Well, you know what? Maybe she was right.
Your mind's rotted! Just go for it! No damage to be done at this point!
You know what? That's perfectly right.
AJ, does your mom know what a furry is?
I don't know, and at this point, I don't want to open that can of worms.
AJ, will your mom commission me to draw her fursona?
I would totally create a fursona for my mom if you would draw it. That would be the most wholesomest thing on the planet.
Yes!
Would she commission you to create a fursona for
can
her?
Can we commission you to create a fursona for your mother?
On her behalf?
Sure.
All right, how much?
We're going to get this in writing. This is a great start to our first ever episode of Into the Falls with guests!
Oh. Woo!
Welcome to Into to The Falls, a Gravity Falls podcast. I'm Mary, and I know lots of things.
I'm AJ, and I know nothing.
This is a podcast where I guide AJ through the wonderful weirdness of Gravity Falls, my favorite show that he has never seen.
If you're a new arrival like me, or looking to relive some crazy summer memories, come with us, and let's dive into The Falls.
Oh, we should probably introduce ourselves, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Probably. Who are you people?
Oh, I'm Charlie, and that one's Ella.
Hi, I'm Ella.
What do you do?
Ooh, we do a lot. We do too much.
I eat food. I drink water.
In 2014, we made How the Grunkle Stole Hanukkah, the fan-made Gravity Falls episode.
Don't watch it. It's bad.
Don't watch it. It's bad. In 2015... we made What Probably Happens in Gravity Falls, kind of a joke on the fan theory community that we would just, you know, kind of half-ass. And then in 2016, we made...
Can we swear?
How much can we swear?
As much as you want.
I'm going to censor it anyway.
Bastard.
That won't be censored.
F*** yeah.
Heck.
And in 2016, we created Real Time Fandub.
Never heard of it.
In 2018 and 2019, we dubbed the official Gravity Falls graphic novel. In 2020, we made a bunch of crossover videos with Steven Universe Future Earth's Ending. And then in 2021, we started a Gravity Falls No Spoiler Rewatch podcast called Mystery Shack Look Back.
Whoa, that sounds awesome.
That is a great idea for a podcast.
It does. We've plugged it multiple times on the show.
Contacts for us as people rather than as Gravity Falls fan content creators, which is also true, but I am an animator and a story artist.
Oh, I'm a YouTuber.
Don't worry, YouTuber is a real job.
Oh, no, it is a real job. It's just a job I hate and don't enjoy connecting, don't enjoy associating myself with. Boy, I'm a voice actor.
Yeah.
You know what? That's a real job, too.
I'm an actor, voice director, casting director, writer, improviser.
You're an actor.
There you go.
I'm an actor.
Guys, we are here for one very important reason, and that is that AJ has not seen Gravity Falls past this episode. This was, I presume, his first time seeing this episode.
Yes, it was.
Let's get his thoughts on it before we do anything else.
All right.
All right, the floor is mine. This was a pretty good episode to immediately wake up to this morning. I thought the whole Renaissance Fair kind of thing was really cute, and I really liked... somebody finally sticking it to Pacifica Northwest.
Thank you, Jorge.
What a little booger she is.
Definitely thought you were going to say bitch.
Nah, that's a child.
But I'm glad you liked it. And guys, I'm so glad you're here.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be in this cave with you.
I'm saying I am so glad you are all here to share this with me. Because I don't think I've told you this. This is the episode that made me start watching Gravity Falls.
Whoa! Did you watch it in an Arby's?
No.
Our guest on Irrational Treasure said that this was the episode that they had first seen, and they caught it in an Arby's. So if you were in the same Arby's at that same time, that would be amazing.
It's a small world after all.
That would be wild, but no. I saw the first couple episodes around the time they aired. You know, I watched the pilot. I liked it. I really liked the second episode, but it didn't, like... I wasn't, like, drawn in, like, oh, I have to watch every episode. I have to find out what happens next. But I turned on Disney Channel one day. At the end of this one, like, Dipper wants to tell Pacifica that her great-great-grandpa was a fraud. And Mabel's like, I've got nothing to prove. I've learned that being silly is awesome. And Dipper takes a beat and says,
well, I haven't learned anything.
That was amazing. You go, little kid.
Gives her the evidence. And the line that finally hooked me was,
man, revenge is underrated. That felt awesome.
And I was like, all right, where do I sign? This is a great show. I love it. And my life was changed forever.
I'm glad that was the hook for you.
Huzzah. Yeah, that was a great moment.
That all ties into the fact that Alex Hirsch never really watched children's television. His favorite show as a child was The Simpsons. So he wasn't really interested in creating for Disney. And basically putting things like that play with the idea of what is immoral, is his way of being like, I will work for Disney, but I will not make a Disney show.
Yeah,
pretty much. I also love that, AJ, that you felt that it was finally time to stick it to Pacifica. When up till this point, you've known her for one episode and you're already sick of her and you're already like, finally, I've waited so long for this moment, because same.
It's like she's had it too good for too long.
Yeah, exactly.
An entire episode.
Yes, she's had it too good for 22 minutes too long.
22 minutes way too long. Yeah, the party it left a really bad impression on me. As I'm sure it would anybody.
AJ, I know I'm not allowed to tell you who voices, who Will Forte voices, but did you figure out who in this episode fellow SNL alum Chris Parnell voices?
I don't know who that is, so nope.
He's Jerry from Rick and Morty.
He's Mr. Peabody.
He's Mr. Peabody. He's Mr. Peabody?
Not in the movie, in the Netflix series. Uh-huh. The movie is Tyrell.
He's Jerry from Rick and Morty. He's the voice of like some box on a commercial.
Yeah, he's the progressive box. He sells you progressive. Yeah,
isn't he also the hamburger helper?
He might be. I don't know the last time I saw a hamburger helper commercial.
Yeah, there are TV ads for the hamburger helper.
What?
Yeah. I mean, Chris Parnell is very funny. He played the guy in the black and white movie that he was like, I will be shot after filming is complete. Oh no? Oh, that's a relief. He's fucking
Yeah, that
hilarious.
Was a good voice. I can at least say unbiasedly that was a good voice for that character. I will tell you, I said this on the Discord, I was able to like immediately pick out Corey Burton when he was like,
come one and all for the opening ceremonies.
I don't know Corey Burton's voice.
Really?
It's another person who was in DuckTales.
It's like Jim Cummings. Once you get it, you see it everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Kind of that off-screen announcer when they go
He's Ludwig von Drake.
AJ, I will tell you this, but I will not tell you when or where it's coming. Jim Cummings will only voice one character throughout the entirety of Gravity Falls.
Okay.
Well, I don't know who it is. I don't remember who he played.
I will DM you, Mary.
So I'll be no help until we get to it.
Oh, but you'll know. You'll know when he's there.
Oh, I'll know. You bet I'll know.
The scene where Blubbs is on the phone with the government cover-up guy, that's just Kevin Michael Richardson talking to Kevin Michael Richardson.
Really?
In two very, very slightly different voices, but it's definitely him both times.
That is amazing.
Kevin Michael Richardson has an incredible voice range that he has never asked to use because his normal voice is so cool. Kevin Michael Richardson can do any voice, and no one wants him to because... he has trained his normal voice on purpose to sound like a cross between James Earl Jones and Barry White.
The theme day that they're having, the Pioneer Day, like, I'm not gonna lie, that looks fun. I like themed stuff. I like dressing up.
Oh,
I like costumes.
I work at a Pioneer theme park, a Wild West.
You
slash
do. You
Westward
work at Westworld.
Yeah.
You are Yul Brynner.
And I can assure you this from personal experience, it actually isn't fun. That's an illusion.
I mean, I'm sure it's not fun if you do it for a living, but if it's like you're going to a costume party or something, that's fun to me. If you have to do it for a living and like interact with people you don't want to interact with, then that's probably not fun.
I actually have never had an unpleasant experience interacting with a customer. Management, however.
The problem is that at a Pioneer Fair such as that, there are horses, and horses eat food, and then they expel waste.
Oh boy, I wish I could say that shoveling horse poop was the worst part of my job. I wish I could say that.
Was the worst part of your job? Yeah.
But the good thing is you can say that you are Nathaniel Northwest, noted founder of Gravity Falls.
But what if he's a fraud, AJ?
No, but that's the real Nathaniel Northwest got to shovel waste.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, and you're credited as the founder, like Elon Musk.
He also dreamed of, what was it, eating a tree?
He did eat a tree. Yeah.
I don't know. I have, I think I saved the freeze frame from the document that proves Nathaniel Northwest was a fraud. I will drop it in the group chat so AJ can see it for the first time.
Oh boy.
Yes, please. It's so good.
Read that for us, AJ, when you get it.
Oh wait, I could read it.
You could read it.
Nah, but AJ's never read it before. So
yeah, that's
be...
true. AJ will be reacting to it for the first time.
All right. I've got it up here. Here we go. Viewers, if you've never seen Gravity Falls, you're also hearing this for the first time. Here we go.
Let it be here recorded. Nathaniel Northwest, famous in his native Gravity Falls for standing in the park and hitting himself with a large boating oar until he blacked out, was chosen to become the Patsy Mayor of Gravity Falls. Northwest spoke in a series of grunts and screams and often yelled his trademark phrase, "I am going to eat this entire oak tree because I am a powerful wizard!"
That's amazing.
The fabled founder of Gravity Falls was, in fact, a fraud. His last moments on Earth were spent choking on a piece of bark, a giant piece of bark, attempting to live out his beautiful dream. He was hated by everyone that knew him. He will not be missed. Other hidden historical truths include, Thomas Jefferson was actually just two kids in an overcoat standing on each other's shoulders. The current and forever president of the United States is actually Santa Claus. Under the reign of Mr. Claus, America is not a democracy, but a jollyocracy. The statues in Mount Rushmore are actually gigantic presidential-faced robots that will be called into action when America needs them the most. An enormous, evil time-devouring baby from another dimension is frozen in an Antarctic glacier. Fortunately, glaciers never melt, so we should be fine. Writing jokes for cartoons is more important than sleep. If you recite the Pledge of Allegiance backwards, you'll gain secret wizard powers. This really works, kids. Try it at home.
Obscured is this one's true.
It's like, this one's true, kids, try it.
This one's true, kids, try it at home.
Nice job not even breaking that much while you were
AJ,
reading that through.
AJ, one thing from this document will become a thread in future episodes. Do you want to guess what it is?
Is Mount Rushmore actually presidential-faced robots that will come to America's need when the time arises?
That's a good guess.
Yeah, let's. That's
oh
that
my
one.
God, he got it.
Oh my God, I got it.
First try.
I'm amazing this morning.
But, now, wait a second. That happens with the Lincoln Memorial in Sam and Max.
That happens with the Statue of Liberty in Ghostbusters 2.
And
sort of.
Theoretically real life. I mean, we haven't seen it happen yet, but...
True.
Oh, yeah. Do we want to explain why Abraham Lincoln has another hand growing out of his head?
I forgot about that one.
AJ, you don't have to bring it up, okay? He's super insecure about
that's
that.
That's why he wears the hat all the time.
That's why he wears the hat.
That's what the stovepipe hat is for.
I'm sure it probably has some use.
And so when someone called him Two-Faced, he was like, oh, yeah, two faces. That's the abnormality that I have. Whew.
Yeah.
God.
No, he just takes off the hat and puts his head down and goes like this and slaps him in the face.
Yeah.
How about you?
I walked past parents telling their children at my job. I heard them going, "Do you know why he was called Honest Abe Lincoln?" And as I walked by, I said, "Election propaganda." And my their parents said, "Shh."
Aww. You're just doing your job. You're being educational.
Hey, the kids need to learn sooner than later.
Yeah. I love, regarding the theming of the town, something that I haven't really properly appreciated until I watched it for this podcast. I rewatched it again. Was one of the establishing moments is Toby Determined coming out and saying, "Welcome to 1863, to which Stan responds by pulling like a great little bit of animation where he pulls up his shirt sleeve and goes,
"I will break you, little man."
Toby doesn't just run off screen. He like runs into the background, knocks over like a trash can or something, and then scurries away, which is, it's so specific. I love it. Yeah.
It's great.
That's amazing.
It's so great.
The question is, does he deserve it because he sleeps with a cardboard cutout of...
Well, yeah.
God, what's her name?
He's a crime against
That's
nature,
his business,
I think.
Business, AJ.
It's everybody's business once the police have record of it.
That's not how crime works.
Any misfortune that befalls Toby Determined is deserved by his existence.
By the way, deviating to our bumbling police lovers, how on earth did they get this important job out of... every other capable police officer in this country. How did they...
Wait, are you implying that there are capable police officers in this country? I went there.
Yeah, where?
I mean,
when you say police lovers, do you mean they're lovers who are police? Or they love police?
I was about to say that. Yeah. They are bumbling police and also they are lovers.
They are lovers who are police. Friendship bracelets.
They lick each other's boots.
There's something very important I need to inform you all of. I have a bell.
Woo! Yeah! You have a bell!
I got a bell!
I have a bell.
It's shiny.
I got a bell!
Well, I think all cops are beautiful.
Also, I can't read.
All cops are beautiful.
They're all babies.
Edwin Derland, you are a diamond in the rough.
I am beautiful.
In every single way.
They're the only cops that aren't bastards, but it's only because, like, they can't do anything.
They can't do anything.
They're incapable of being bastards, yeah.
They're harmless simply because they, like, they're not... They can't do anything.
But I'm really happy that there's so much focus on them.
I mean, they literally said, we won't let those kids get past us. And then the kids get past them.
We're gonna have to break in.
And those are your free Pioneer Day passes. And your balloons, blue and pink.
That's one of the best jokes in the show, AJ. Everyone loves it. It's a fan favorite. You are right to love it.
It is almost a reprise of the fake IDs from Headhunters.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
It's in the storied tradition.
Sorry, we don't serve minors. Dang, never!
It helps that feeling that, like, reminding us that they are kids and, like, they do a lot of very, you know, badass hero stuff, but they're also kids walking around a town. So it's like, you know, there's not always an element of danger as much as they think there is.
Yeah, I mean, Mabel is definitely, like, the most kiddish in this episode. Like, Dipper, to an extent, also is just because, like, of how much he wants to be, like, how much he wants to be grown up. That kind of makes him seem more like a kid.
Yeah. Then they do the dramatic pull in again. He's like, we're in.
We're in. Like, he's not letting that ruin his bit.
No,
he's still gonna do it. I like to think when Mabel asks if they're gonna steal Thomas Jefferson's ribcage, I would love to think that the Gravity Falls Museum of History actually has that on display.
There is a museum in Philly called the Mutter Museum that has like a bunch of it's Andrew Jackson's pancreas or something like that. You know, like a lot of medical historical oddities like that. So if it's anywhere, then it's not in Gravity Falls. It's going to be at the Mutter Museum. That's M-U with an umlaut, T-T-E-R. It's a cool place.
How'd it get that umlaut?
Yeah, well, that's another oddity.
They had to earn it.
It earned it. I was... Okay, god damn it, AJ, you beat me to it.
We think the same, Mary and I.
Now I'm thinking about it as, like, you know, Mabel's arc in this episode deals with her being silly, but then, you know, Dipper is his own kind of silly. I know, like, Dipper is kind of framed as, like, the serious one in contrast to Mabel.
But that's kind of what makes him silly.
Yeah, that he is trying to play this grown-up adventurer role.
And is not sure if doing a voice while reading the journal is... serious or silly.
Yeah.
Not unlike AJ reading that document.
Yes.
If I really wanted to play it up like the show, I probably would have asked, should I do the voice?
Yeah.
That's what we did in our episode. We had our guest Miles read it and had him do the voice first and then say, should I do the voice?
And I'm sorry, we're all out of pink balloons. Why did we even come?
So when the woodpecker wedding, like, I love that there are, like, spectators who look just genuinely emotional.
I never noticed that Gompers the goat is also an attendee at the wedding until this watch.
Well, he was the best man. He had to be there.
Gompers the goat must have caught the bouquet then, because...
I don't know why you would say that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
This goat is the goat.
Spoilers.
He is. He is the goat.
That stands for goat of all time.
Goatest of all time. So we were talking in the last episode about how because her name is Pacifica Northwest, she really has to stay in Oregon. Like, she can't move anywhere else. I'm realizing in this episode, the fact that, like, their money comes from having founded the town. Nobody knows this town even, like, exists. So they really can't move anywhere else because no one will care about
them. She moves to Florida and she's like, hi, my name's Pacifica Northwest. And they're like, why?
What is a mudflap?
It's like, it's something about a car. I think it's
It goes on the back of the tire.
You stick it on the back of your tires,
from,
and it it catches mud.
I only know this because of the Cars films.
But we haven't gotten to anything involving mud flaps yet, Charlie, so I don't know why you brought that up.
Oh, right. Sorry.
It was brought up because mud flaps are cool.
Probably. I'm just going to frame everything that could possibly be a spoiler as if it's like the biggest spoiler in the show.
Well, no, you have your bell, so just ring your bell whenever one of us brings up something we're not supposed to bring up.
Yeah, I was considering that. I'm just going to ring the bell whenever I need order. Alex Hirsch is really having fun voicing Steve the mechanic.
I have never heard tell of this.
Slack.
Okay, well, I didn't pick that out, so thanks for that.
If you can't identify who a voice actor is, there's a 50% chance that it's Alex.
Another amazing moment of voice actors just arguing with themselves.
Yeah, that is Stan. Yeah. That is Stan, who is Alex, talking to Steve the mechanic.
I am unfamiliar with this bold new expression.
Hey, so if we're keeping up on our Steve count, that is Steve number 3.
It is?
There's a Steve the Gnome.
Carson, Steve, yeah. Jason, and I always forget your name. Shmabulok. Shmabulok, right. And also, attention all units, Steve is about to fit an entire watermelon into his mouth. I repeat.
Entire cantaloupe.
Cantaloupe, yeah. So that...
How do we know they're not all the same Steve?
Well, okay, so are you saying that Steve the mechanic is also a gnome?
I want to believe that.
And on the police force.
And also fit an entire cantaloupe. But they never said that Steve was on the police force. They just said he was going to fit an entire cantaloupe.
Oh, yeah, it could just be some guy.
That is true.
It could just be like, it's a small town. Everyone knows each other.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Stan knows Steve.
Yeah, that seems like a very small town thing.
Maybe Steve is somebody that they were holding in the jail. Maybe Steve got arrested and they're like, oh my God.
Steve the gnome mechanic. Yeah. So is he in a human disguise like Norman was?
Or is he in a gnome disguise?
Oh, that's it. He's put on a green screen suit and affixed legs and arms to his head.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't put it past the show to do that.
So Quentin Tremblay appointed 6 babies to the Supreme Court. We see at the end they are still on the Supreme Court.
They're still babies.
Either those babies are immortal. Maybe they also encase themselves in peanut brittle. Or the country continued his tradition of appointing baby justices.
No, I think that was a flashback to when he was first impeached.
No, I thought of, that's an interesting interpretation. I never thought about that.
I never thought that.
I mean, that's where my mind went first.
I kind of like the idea that he also, in case he was like, well, a captain has to go down with the Supreme Court. And then he gets out some peanut brittle, like, come on, babies, you're going under too.
However, I will point out, That Quentin Tremblay listens to the decision the Supreme Court makes. So even as ridiculous as he is, he cannot be considered the worst president.
Yeah, that's a tight race.
He knows when to be serious and when to be silly.
He believes in a system of checks and balances.
We're restating a lot of stuff from our episode. I don't think we should talk about as much as... But you're right.
I'm just saying he believes the executive...
I mean, that's okay. It's good to have those kinds of discussions with...
new ears.
Fair enough.
Yeah, with a newbie or two people that are not connected to y'all's podcast.
Also, I deleted the part where we said that out of our podcast, so no one's heard us say before.
Oh, no.
The entire sequence.
Yes, so I was bringing it up here because even though we did bring it up, no one has ever heard us bring it up. That's the difference between you being a host and me being an editor, is you remember everything we said. I remember everything I left in.
Amen, amen. Editor's power.
The entire sequence when they're in the crate is like maybe the funniest thing in the episode outside of the we have to break in part.
Well, we didn't fit through the hole. Let's rebuild the box and try
rebuild
again.
Rebuild the box and try again.
I'm so glad Dipper's there to just be like, let's stay on track here.
Straight,
there's two police officers after us. We gotta jet.
It's Blubbs and Derlin. They have time.
But they're on a train. They can't jet. Mm.
Alex Hirsch wrote up until the point where they get trapped into the box and realized he had to go to bed. So put down the thing with the woodpecker just to have something down to have the scene done with before he went to bed and no one asked him to rewrite it.
I mean, yeah, because it fits in with... It's already, woodpeckers have already been established.
All of Quentin Tremblay's ideas feel like ideas that you would have sleep deprived, but Quentin Tremblay is wide awake and gets plenty of sleep.
Quentin Tremblay has historically received the most sleep of any person.
It's true.
True. Unless there's someone who's been in case longer than him.
Oh.
Good question.
Those dinosaurs from Jurassic Park.
What, in like
we
in
don't
like
know
Amber?
Yet. We don't know yet. We'll find out. We'll find out. We don't know yet. Order in the court.
Mama.
Order in the court. The Discord.
I made a reference entirely not related to the show, and I got ordered in the court.
I think it's yesterday, four of us played Jackbox together, and I kept in Joke Boat trying to make my punchlines instead of funny spoil Gravity Falls for AJ so Mary would get mad at me.
Oh, yeah. You were like, Mary, look over there.
It was like, have you heard about the Journal Number 3 challenge? That's where you, Mary, look over there. AJ, well, she's distracted. I have to tell you the author is Thomas Jefferson.
Miku Binder Thomas Jefferson specifically.
Yeah, Miku Binder Thomas Jefferson wrote the three journals.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually where that came from. It wasn't a Hamilton fan art. It was
Gravity Falls fan art. Yeah. So the part of the document that says that Thomas Jefferson was two kids on each other's shoulders is actually inaccurate to history.
No, that's what the binder is for. It binds the two children together.
Oh, okay.
Wouldn't that second child not be able to breathe, though?
No, don't worry
about
it.
Yeah, that's what a binder is.
Don't worry about it.
I've got binders full of children.
Well, I've got a bell.
He sure loves his bell.
They've officially been dubbed the Mystery Twins. This is a momentous occasion.
Yay!
Yes, come around to it.
Our podcasts are like the Mystery Twins.
Yeah, you're the...
You're
the Dipper of the bunch, and I'm the Mabel.
Our podcast is like the Mystery Twins?
Just based on our past behavior.
Yeah. Oh, you're
our
saying...
podcast is like one of us is Dipper, one of us is Mabel, one of us is the Tent of Telepathy, one of us is the Mystery Shack. We don't know which one is which.
We love duality.
Yeah. We'll find out someday.
Maybe not. It's fine.
I like the reveal that Ben Franklin really was a woman, because that means she was a sexually active woman in a time when that really wasn't encouraged.
Trans rights.
That's
so
true.
Good for her. Ben Franklin pulled.
We stand a legend.
If you recall, AJ, the first mention of Thomas Jefferson, no, of Ben Franklin being a woman was in Legend of the Gobblewonker.
We love a callback. Mabel's been vindicated.
Oh, man, I got to think way back.
Yeah, so in Legend of the Gobblewonker, there is a flashback to when Stan made the kids counterfeit.
You know, on
money.
A family bonding day that they, that
and
they had.
And Stan looks down at the $100 bill that Mabel is making and says, "You call that Ben Franklin? He looks like a woman."
So the fact that, yeah, the fact that Mabel is the one to specifically point it out.
We record these so far apart that like when we released the last one, it was really funny to me because I'd forgotten a lot of what we said because we recorded it like 2 months ago.
Yeah, we recorded the third one when we released the first
episode.
Yeah,
it was the same day. It was June 15th.
Ella and I, before I got my job, did a long bit of recording in bulk so that I could apply to jobs. And when we finally recorded again, I started with, "Do you remember how to do this podcast?" And she goes,
like, no.
"No, why? Do you?" And I go, "No." And she goes, "Okay, then we're equals."
Yeah.
You know what I do remember is that back in pioneer times, the citizens drew sustenance by telling stories around the fire. And AJ, I just got an email from our sponsor this week. I told them we were recording, and they emailed the podcast. They emailed their ad copy. They mentioned you by name for some reason,
oh,
so I guess they want you to read it. So I'll I'll DM it to you right now.
Well, I should have sent it by carrier bird.
Awesome,
they shouldn't
awesome,
have emailed
awesome.
It.
Let's take a break. And welcome back to Tourist Treats, places to go in Gravity Falls, sponsored by the Gravity Falls Tourism Board. This is the part of the show where I like to inform you about a really cool place that you can visit next time you're vacationing in Gravity Falls, Oregon. Just like Mary said, they've just sent us the ad copy. In honor of our guests, I will be reading this for the first time, cold. I have never, ever seen this before, so this is going to be an exciting moment. Are y'all ready to find out about a great place to visit in Gravity Falls?
I'm so ready.
I'm very ready.
Yes.
AJ here, representing the Gravity Falls Board of Tourism and Government Cover-Ups in another edition of Tourist Treats. What's that? I said the whole department name out loud? Don't worry, I have final edit of the episode, so I can cut it so it sounds more innocuous. No one will suspect a thing. There's no doubt that our town has advanced since the time of the pioneers. We've gone from covered wagons to station wagons, from phonograph cylinders to 8-tracks. Unfortunately, we've also gone from having sufficient funding for our public library to not having that. But hard as it is to part with our town's vast collection of literature, the city council has a fun, unique, and probably eco-friendly way to dispose of it. Introducing Book Bites, a pop-up restaurant that will finally allow the people of Gravity Falls to gain sustenance from books the way our pioneer predecessors did. From Winnie the Pooh to Moby Dick, the finest chefs available on short notice will grill, sauté, deep fry, or even chocolate coat a tome of your choosing. Menu items are first come, first serve, either in person or through the library website. Convenient. Anonymous private dining is an option for those wishing to dine on antiquarian editions or religious texts. No questions asked. You can't escape the judgment of whatever god you believe in, but you can escape ours! We know what you're thinking. Are there health risks inherent in eating entire books? But haven't we all tried eating paper at least once? Is leather binding any different from steak or a good old American hamburger? There is a big difference if you cook the steak right. So put your worries aside and come on down to the soon-to-be former site of the Gravity Falls Public Library and consume the classics in a whole new way. Book Bites. Everyone poops. It's nobody's business what it's made of.
You know, I'm actually going to try that next time I'm in town.
Well, you got to hurry because it's a limited time offer. Once they run out of books, that's it.
That's the point. That's the point of our segment, Tourist Streets. Thanks for joining us, everybody. I'm AJ, and remember, we're not responsible for you falling for this dumb parody ad. Now back to the show.
Well, I completely fell for that.
I haven't seen them since I was a child, but I recall there was a candy company that used to sell sugar paper notes with a food coloring marker so that you could write something down and then eat it.
That sounds familiar.
That sounds amazing. So you can eat your secrets whenever you need to.
Oh, exactly.
So convenient.
You have a lot of secrets.
That's what I do with my regular diary.
Yeah.
Y'all aren't special. So the
You just eat your diary?
Yeah. No one can know.
Mary, do what normal people do. Vent on Twitter and then immediately delete it.
Yeah.
The entire plot of the show wouldn't have happened if the author did that with his secrets.
Yeah, good point.
What an idiot. What a hack. Why didn't he just eat it?
My diary's on an Apple Newton, so it's kind of hard for me to eat every time. But
wow, fancy pants here with their old electronics.
Yeah.
My diary in middle school was on my iPad, and then one night I went to write in it, and the entire document was just gone.
Mysterious.
Oh, my.
Government cover
yeah,
up.
I freaked out, and I cried, and
Steve Jobs
it was
read
just
your
my
diary
for, like, the last, for, like, the past 2 years. Like, everything was just gone.
But that's really convenient, though.
Yeah, no one
if you had some secrets in
no
there.
No one will know my adolescent secrets.
Not even you.
Not even me. I mean, I remember a lot of the angsty bullshit I wrote in there, but yeah.
Well, I don't remember a whole lot.
Yeah, it's probably best that we keep our adolescent secrets, like, way, 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 way buried.
I don't remember a whole lot about my adolescence.
That's because you're old.
I'm really old, listeners.
I just remember that I hated Justin Bieber, like you do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Which was the style at the time.
We talked about that. We talked about that in our first episode a lot. I don't know if a lot of it made it in. The scene where Gideon walks by Stan in the stocks. It's just like
oh,
the
gosh.
Most...
Oh gosh, of all cameos, why did it Aww. Have to be him?
It's the most mundane thing we like ever see him do. Like he's just kind of being annoying at this point.
He just strolls by.
First of all, Stan...
He's just being an annoying little kid. Song.
Stan thinks women are inferior because he uses girly as an insult. Mm-hmm. And then the timing of Gideon saying like... Whoops, dropped one, and then just, like, pausing for a second, and then just throwing a yes. tomato at Stan's face yeah. is just, like, this is just such a funny episode.
Whoops, I dropped another one.
Strolling by, humming his villain song from his first appearance.
Oh, I didn't realize yeah. that was that song. Mm-hmm. I thought he was just humming.
I was gonna ask that. If he very much seems like the type of person who would
it's
hum
true.
His own theme
I mean, he
song.
Sings it every night. It's going to get stuck in your head.
Oh, my. That song sure does stick with you.
So the way Mabel folds that document into a map by making a hat, it reminds me of, like, when I was in middle school, I watched these, like, YouTube conspiracy videos about how if you fold a $5 bill just the right way, it looks like the Pentagon on fire on 9/11 or the
That's
towers
right.
on fire on 9/11. It's like a couple different dollar bills that you can do this with. I don't know if you can still do it or if
no,
they
that
changed
probably
the
is
you,
what that's
design.
Referencing.
And if
though,
you do it with
that.
A one,
George Washington looks like a mushroom.
Oh, shit.
What is this?
I did that all the time, though. I thought it was
well, because
so cool.
That, like, analyzing the dollar is a national treasure thing, right? Which is what this whole episode is referencing, I think.
Yeah, I haven't seen National Treasure since I was a kid, but yeah, probably.
I've seen bits and pieces.
Going to steal the body of Quentin Tremblay.
Yeah, I know in the first one he has to steal the Declaration of Independence.
Declaration of Independence. And the second one he has to kidnap the President of the United States, but that's a very brief moment.
I believe in the third one he has to fuck the Statue of Liberty.
Well, he does that in all three. It's
Nick
just
Cage
not like
does
main
that
plot.
In every Nick Cage movie.
I though. Need to fuck the Statue of Liberty.
It's in his contract that any film that he's in, he's okay, but it has to be a scene.
It doesn't have to make it in, but
the
we have to
film
it. The
question is he requesting that, or are the studios requesting that?
He's requesting it. I've seen Honeymoon in Vegas. He does it in
I also,
that.
So speaking of folding hats, did you ever fold the fortune tellers in school?
No, we actually talked about this in our,
that's right, in Headhunters, right, yeah.
Yeah, I could never fold them, but, you know, I had friends who did them.
Yeah, because I think I messaged you around that time that I had to, there was an assignment in school where we had to memorize the steps of doing something and then relay it to the class, and I memorized the steps of creating those, so now it's burned in my brain, and I could just make one on command.
Glorious. Yeah, to reiterate my asetry from the last episode, I never folded them, but I was always on the receiving end of
whoa
them.
Whoa there.
Ooh.
And then we put in Michael Scott saying, that's what she said.
Given the amount of fortunes you've been told, are you like married and rich by now?
Well, I wish. I'm still trying to move out.
Depending on the answer that you got in MASH, are you living in like an apartment with like The Rock Johnson and, you know.
Just The Rock Johnson. Not Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Just The Rock Johnson.
A thousand
no,
kids.
No, 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 no. Just a Rock Johnson.
We've confiscated his Dwayne and given it to the people. We all have Dwayne in our name except The Rock Johnson.
We all get one letter from it.
He bestowed unto us the people's,
people's Dwayne.
That's like one of three Dwayne Johnson references I can make from WWE days.
Now we're
caught up.
Now I'm Charlie the Dwayne Marla.
I'm Mary the Dwayne McKeon, not McCune. It should be McCune, but it's not.
My cow.
My true name, finally.
McQueen?
Oh, I wish Mary I got McQueen.
McQueen.
My lightning McQueen.
Your mom.
Don't be silly. Mary McQueen's not real. So who is everyone's favorite character and why is it Mabel?
Because she is me when I was 12.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because she is me now.
Because she is,
she's me now
she
to
is
an
who
extent,
I want
but I've
to
mellowed
be.
Out a little bit.
Because her silliness is a cover-up for her absolute genius.
I wore this the night the finale aired.
I wore nothing the night the finale aired.
That's
oh,
great.
Wow, I just noticed that it's the horse playing the basketball.
It's a puppy.
You know what? Though, I do remember what I was wearing from the finale, because I remember distinctly the one scene where...
Ring your bell.
I thought you were legit gonna spoil something, and I was like...
To be fair, I mean...
I had a webcam on, and I just saw her, like, legitimately freak out for a second.
I guess there's nothing in the rule...
Mary will kill to keep me from spoilers on this
podcast. There's nothing in the
rule
book that says
that a horse
can't
play
basketball. I need to keep AJ's
Marine
pure and virginal.
Well, based on the last episode,
Mary wants to keep me virginal. That is also on the internet forever.
There, yeah, you're right. You're right, Ella. There ain't nothing in the rules that says a dog can't play basketball.
A horse can't play basketball. So AJ wasn't too.
There's
off.
Nothing in there either. It just hasn't come up yet that we know of. Did you guys know that Air Bud wasn't like they didn't write a movie about a dog playing basketball and then cast a dog? That dog could like bounce a basketball on his nose and like make shots, and they wrote a movie around it.
Well, if you encountered a dog that could do that, would you not write a movie?
I would write a movie about him.
Here's
I
my
would write
question.
A movie for him to star
Here's
in.
My question. Do the Teen Wolf and the Air Bud have a common ancestor?
Yeah, some kind
was
of...
Was there...
They're actually married.
Primal basketball-playing urge.
Was there a historical wolf who could play basketball and...
Probably. The thing is, those two...
You know what? That's the real conspiracy theory here.
Because Teen Wolf came out in, like, 1984, I believe, and Air Bud came out in around 1997, Teen Wolf was an adult wolf at the time. So, you know, they were both adults. They were married.
Wait, do you think Teen Wolf is Air Bud's father?
I
They were married, Ella.
Now, here's another question. Wile E. Coyote from Space Jam.
Only from Space Jam.
Well, yes, that is another basketball. That is another basketball playing canine.
Space Jam 3 starring The Rock Johnson. Yeah.
But no, you're right. Basketball playing canines.
There must be a common ancestor here.
I've named them the Twablica. That stands for Teen Wolf Air Bud Last Common Ancestor.
That's genius.
Trying to find sort of a missing link situation.
I highly anticipate your very astutely researched report.
Hopefully a dog doesn't eat it.
I was just going to say that I didn't really like the stop motion animated movie Missing Link.
No, I heard it wasn't lacking. Great.
It wasn't as good as
I've never heard of it.
Smallfoot, what is it called?
I haven't seen Smallfoot.
But Zendaya was
Michi. One thing we can say in Smallfoot's favor is that
Zendaya is Michi.
And LeBron James is Wonky. Danny DeVito is Dorgle. Common is Stonekeeper. Zendaya is Michi. Gina Rodriguez is Kolka. And Zendaya is Michi.
Oh, I have a question, Mary. Yes. So you have that sweater. Do you also have nacho earrings?
I have earrings shaped like little triangles, but I don't have nacho earrings. How are those nachos sticking to your
Sticky
earlobes?
Nacho cheese. That's the canon.
They're magic. Sticky, yeah.
There's cheese in the bag.
Yeah. My ex.
They were really enjoying those chips. They were really
what was the name of
the episode?
Corn cornos is very interesting to me as a name.
Dipper and Mabel were really into them. That like the first sound you hear outside of like the little music sting is just them going like.
So they're like, hey, Jason and Kristen, can you just make like yummy sounds? Like you're really enjoying these chips.
Yummy sounds.
Yeah.
That's the less glamorous part of being a voice actor.
It makes me think about, there's no glamorous part of being a voice actor in all honesty, but it makes me think.
Yeah, we're standing in front of a microphone just making complete fools of ourselves.
It makes me think of Let's Chips. There is a bag that says Let's that kind of looks like the Lay's logo. And if you don't want to pay money to Lay's to use their logo, you move your chips that you consume in a scene into the Let's bag that the prop department will give you.
That's another thing we talked about for some reason in, I want to say it was Headhunters again.
I think it was Legend of the Gobble
Walker.
No,
it was Headhunters because I listened to it very recently. It was like, we were talking about
gotta
shows.
Gotta have that crunch.
Yeah, gotta have that crunch. Like there's a box of Captain Crunch in an episode of Friends and it's like the same font and like Captain Crunch is on the box, but it says gotta have that gotta crunch because they can't show the actual logo.
But there has been someone who is trying to use Let's to conceive a cinematic universe.
Right, because they all get their same fake props from the same fake prop department.
Well, yes, so that means Let's is most famous for being in Community, because Community is a very meta, sarcastic show that talks about the fact that they're eating Let's, like draws attention to it. But they are also in The People versus O.J. Simpson, which means...
Wow. That's just real life!
It's a fictionalized portrayal of real life events.
Yeah, speaking of cover-ups, The People versus O.J. Simpson. I remembered that in Gobblewonker, I believe you talked about Stan's car and how it has like a shag carpet on the inside.
Yeah.
And I'm like, don't eat chips in a carpeted car.
I mean,
Stan probably
doesn't take care of that car.
Probably
very
not,
well.
But I'm just like, ugh.
That's Steve's job.
Yeah.
Do you think Seuss actually gets paid to clean Stan's car?
I think he does it for free.
Do you think Seuss gets paid?
I do think Seuss gets paid.
Yeah, he's probably
just
like,
paid because,
hey,
like,
Seuss, clean my car. And then he's just like, okay,
I think
dude.
He gets paid just enough, but I think he would do that for free because he would be very easy to convince that that was just part of his job.
Yeah. Or maybe, I think it's actually more like, Seuss, get out of my car. What are you doing? I'm just cleaning it, Mr. Barnes. I didn't ask you to do that.
I was just cleaning it, Mr. Pines.
Also, no Seuss in this episode. I'm sad.
No, but he is mentioned in a very disparaging way. Like, talking to him is like a tragedy.
And it's also the same, like, I can't get over how it's the same, like, cadence and delivery of, like, first Stan says,
and then Seuss came by and talked to me for like an hour.
Then like a scene later, Quentin Tremblay says,
and then he chased me around and spanked me with a paddle for like 3 hours.
Like, that's the same.
Yeah, those were flipped because they come back to town with Quentin Tremblay Stan because he gave Dipper the president.
But they're still
key.
So close together. I'm like, why would they write that?
Two lines of Al.
Quentin Tremblay, nothing happens to him at the end of this episode. He just does a very impressive backwards leap onto a horse and then just rides off. So like, Like, he's out
probably
there somewhere.
Probably off a cliff, as Dipper says.
Yeah, that's not silly. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Very first episode of what probably happens in Gravity Falls, I predicted Quentin Tremblay would return.
Maybe he will.
I feel like I vaguely remember that. Because I watched some of those.
Yeah, but it was anyway, 6 years ago.
We can't say why, but I'm still thinking about that post-credits or that credit scene and the idea that it is a flashback, because I always thought that that's just where he went afterward. He was like,
yeah, that's
was
what
like,
I
well,
thought
I'm officially the president again. And then the court was like,
for the last 9 years. And then he immediately gets impeached.
Yeah, because he, yeah.
But who would you have replace me?
Mama.
That old crone?
Quentin Tremblay's a misogynist.
I mean, I'm impressed that he's not more misogynist. The fact that he made Mabel a congresswoman is like very progressive for his time.
He's pretty progressive
Mabel
for his time.
Mabel is going
to
legalize everything.
That's like massively progressive for
yeah,
his time.
Yeah, not only a woman, but a 12-year-old.
That's the forever purge. Mabel legalizing everything.
That's unfortunately, in retrospect, I regret Mabel taking a libertarian stance.
It makes sense for her.
What's next? You need a license to make toast in your own goddamn toaster?
Yes. Have you been toasting toast unlicensed?
Picture Mabel saying, don't worry, I have a permit, and handing a printed piece of paper that says,
I can do what I want. Signed Mabel. Love Mabel.
She would, like, dot the I's with hearts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That made me remember going back to when Gideon was making fun of Stan on the stocks, and he's like, yeah, you want that in writing?
Referring that was
Pacifica.
Him saying that his family's the best. And then he masterfully writes, you stink.
I did that with my
with
mouth!
His mouth.
Ha! I did that with my mouth!
He's like, you want that in writing? She's like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I have a pen and paper right here.
Oh, wait, that was Pacifica. I said it was Gideon.
She walked up and she
bad.
Said in her little Pacifica voice, like,
well, if it isn't Mabel's uncle, Mr. Pines, looking for this?
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder
how
talking like she hasn't visited the Mystery Shack like
five times in the past year. I'm obsessed with how that was both
year. Like
that was
don't
both
hide
an
it.
Accurate impression
like
and incredibly exaggerated.
Yeah, it's that kind of delivery.
Well, that's kind of what she is the first few times
sure,
we see her.
Sure, but I was like that both sounded like
few.
That
she
both
returns?
Sounded like Jackie Buscarino not like human speech.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But also, I don't buy that Pacifica ever visited the Mystery Shack outside of that party because, like, everyone was going to that party. She had to assert her popularity. I don't think her parents would let her be seen at, like, a kitschy little commoner's tourist
Maybe.
Trap. Like, I think they have better things to do in their mind.
There's a joke
but Mary, what about the episode
that's,
coming
that's
up?
That's her special
where...
interest, and she sneaks out of the house in order to visit.
Pacifica takes over the Mystery Shack for a week? Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
Isn't she at the shack
ring,
next
ring,
episode?
Ring, ring, ring.
What's the next episode?
What was I going to say? There's a joke at the end about Pacifica.
I don't know.
God,
I don't know. We'll find out.
I saw it when I saw it on Disney Plus, and
there's a Pacifica line at the end that I never really understood if it was like a joke or like what it was supposed to be.
Is it kick her
off
the team?
Yeah, cuz I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what that is.
Kick her off the team.
They're doing some kind of maypole thing.
They're doing the maypole.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't know how that actually works, but it's some kind of old-timey game.
See, in my day we didn't play that.
The maypole is...
Explain it to us,
because
Charlie.
Because when
detail.
You were a kid, they played it?
I knew about the maypole as a kid, but no, there's a maypole at the Ren Fair where I used to work.
But does it work in teams? Is it a team sport?
Charlie was more of a hoop and stick kind of kid.
Okay, so the goal of the maypole is to, yes, dance around it, but you're supposed to do so in a way that the ribbon you're holding gets tied around the stick in a specific pattern.
So it's like a tetherball, kind of.
Yes, so basically you're choreographing a dance so that you can get a certain
but
pattern with the different colored ribbons.
Is it a team job? I don't understand.
Yeah,
kick her
absolutely,
off the team.
Because not one person can move every ribbon, so everyone has to move them at the same time.
Okay.
And if
but
it
you're
does not,
you're not
form
competing
the...
against another team, you're just all
no,
working together.
But if everyone is, if someone is not making the desired pattern, then that one person was not doing it properly.
Kick her off the team.
For some reason, I kind of took it as like those girls, like unrelated to what they're doing now, are on some kind of sports team together, and that's Pacifica saying like she's not going to make the cut.
I want like a Bring It On-esque drama teen movie about the Maypole team.
About Maypole, it's just set in like
It's set in Gravity Falls. It's about that those characters and Pacifica, and they're like, the Maple Tournament is coming up, you guys. We cannot be slacking right now.
And there's nothing supernatural about
That's
it.
That's Alex just Hirsch's next project, yeah. And he's going to put it
the
on Netflix.
The rest of Gravity Falls is just happening around them,
well, the
and they're not
the
involved.
Maypole is distinctly a pagan tradition, so there is something supernatural about it.
I know, I've seen The Wicker Man. The original, not
We're
the Nick Cage.
I do like the scene
in the Nick Cage version of The Wicker Man, though, where he f***s the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, I wonder why they put that one in.
That was a deleted scene. They replaced it with him fucking the Wicker Man.
Oh.
They were like, okay, we'll honor this, but like, we gotta keep it on theme.
Like how they change logos sometimes to fit
Step
the theme of
the movie. Step away from the bike.
Yeah.
I could just repeat Nicolas Cage wonky lines all day, but what's the next episode, Mary?
Well, first, AJ, I want to know where you think it's going from here, because we got some information.
Oh, yeah. The journal.
The journal's in this very briefly, there's some other stuff.
Lots of insight.
So I kind of thought this was conspiracy stuff would start to go a little deeper than it did. And I'm going to be honest, I was a little disappointed when it was just left there with Quentin Tremblay just going off into the sunset. I kind of thought maybe we would have gotten another reveal or something.
But that it's actually more self-contained
or something in the
than
journal.
You were expecting, I guess.
Definitely. But yeah, it was good to see the journal pop up again. And that was a crazy conspiracy that they uncovered. Like, what else is Gravity Falls hiding in its depths? Mm.
Oh, well, if you're curious, some of the things that are hiding in Gravity Falls.
I don't know what you were saying. I just heard ring ring, so I rang the bell.
Oh, I was
no.
AJ was curious what else is hiding. What other secrets are hiding in Gravity Falls? I was going to offer some of them
for free.
That's so generous.
I mean,
of
I
you.
Already know that Stan has a fridge that leads to
that's
a room.
That's a vending machine,
what is that
AJ.
Well, he does have a fridge. It has a very eager looking cow on it.
He has a fridge, but we don't know where the fridge
goes.
Yes,
I love that cow that is delighted to be lactating.
Because, you know.
I forgot about that.
Same girl.
I like the cow that Mabel sees out the window and she's like, this
yeah,
is going to be
yeah,
a big
yeah.
day.
Oh, that's such a good moment.
That's a very pretty cow.
That's such a good moment.
Oh my gosh. In college, once a year, this creamery would come by with a truck and give like free ice cream. And they would bring two little baby cows that we could pet. And one time, so the first year I was just like sleeping in one morning and I hear these two girls. I lived in a very small dorm my first year. These two girls walked by and they're like, yeah, there are cows outside the dining hall. And I was like, what? And like, if I didn't go see, I would never forgive myself. So I went and there were two little
cows
named Strawberry.
Take me there now.
One of them, I was still in my pajamas. One of them chewed on my pajama pants.
Yes, you can't keep chewing on my pajama pants.
Yeah. They like tried to eat trees. They like tried to eat tree bark. Not unlike Nathaniel Northwest. I found a four leaf clover near one. Straw and Berry.
Oh, shout out to Straw and Berry. I love those. Can someone draw Straw and Berry, please? Can I draw Straw?
I hope they haven't been slaughtered.
No, in my mind, they're still making ice cream to this day.
Yeah, and then the next time there was a cow named Butter who smelled kind of funny, and she was very soft, and there was like a little two-year-old girl there with her parents, and she was like, cow! And the mom was like, that's a baby cow. Mama cows are really, really big, and she's like,
they'll kill you.
Baby cow! And then she like went to pet it and then it just made a little noise and she was like, eh.
Don't kid yourself, Jimmy. If a cow ever got the chance, he'd eat you and everyone you care about.
Oh, God. And like, yeah, I found a lot of four-leaf clovers that day. I just find a lot of four-leaf clovers in general.
You must be the luckiest person in the world.
I can tell because of how many baby cows you meet that you're very lucky.
Yeah. And like one of my classmates had a service dog who was a Great Dane, a service dog in training. And it was like the same size as the baby cow. And they were just kind of sniffing each other. And they bumped their snouts together. And I'll find the picture and I'll put it in the DM. It's like the cutest thing I have ever encountered.
Can we start closing up?
Aww. Yep. Thank you for bringing us on to this episode. It was really weird and silly, but that's appropriate.
Thank you for following us into this cave. It ended up being really fun.
Oh, sorry about kidnapping you.
I guess we'll let you go now. We just wanted to teach you a lesson about littering.
I've been here the whole time.
Yeah, the plot twist here was We were kidnapped. We were never followed.
Yeah.
Well, no.
Well, I was kidnapped when...
This was all a plot, and we were in on it.
I was kidnapped to be a guest on their podcast, and they just didn't let me go until just now. You just kind of wandered in and found me, and were like, hey, what's going on over here?
Yeah. Anyway.
But, AJ, you're hearing this title for possibly the first time. The next episode is The Time Traveler's Pig.
Ooh.
What?
What do you make of that?
There's a time traveler, and he either has a pig, or they forgot an A, and the time traveler is a pig.
That would be a major oversight.
Mm.
I mean, I'm leaning towards the latter here.
That would be fun. That would be a fun one. But we'll find out next time on Into the Falls. Woo. Guys, guests, where can we find you? I can't see you. Where can we find you?
Don't find me.
Talk about your brand new Twitter revamp.
Oh, yeah, I'm at Char Marlowe on Twitter and on youtube.com/C/CharleyMarlowe, CharleyMarlowe, even 77 letters. And also, Ella and I host a podcast.
Oh, we do. That's right.
Called Mystery Shack Look Back. It is a no-spoiler rewatch of Gravity Falls. Ours is slightly different than Into the Falls because we are, I guess, experts on Gravity Falls. I guess by some metric scholars.
It is more so, about...
Can I say y'all are super fans?
Well, I don't know about super fans.
We're scholars.
Fans, yeah.
We are scholars and we are curating... An
kind
exhibit
of a virtual,
what,
yes, a virtual museum for Gravity Falls and making it accessible for new viewers, but also a trip down memory lane for.
Yes, it is us trying to recapture the feeling of the original fandom. So,
oh, God, I figured it out.
What?
You guys are the Mystery Shack because you're a museum. We're the tent of telepathy because we're just taking what's in front of us.
You're cold reading,
and trying
AJ.
To figure out what comes next.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that. All right. Good. Comparison. But and you can find that on pipedreampodcast.com, our host.
Pipe Dream Podcasts, by the way. There's an S at the end. You gotta enunciate
that. I think
so. You can find that on pipedreampodcast.com with an S.
As well as wherever you get your podcast. We don't have any listeners on Deezer yet.
But you could be the first.
I haven't checked our Deezer stats, but we're on
and then
there.
You can email us at mysteryshacklookback@gmail.com. And then you can find me personally just anywhere on the street, but also on at Drawn Without Ref on Twitter and Instagram. Please watch my cartoons. Check us out and our podcast out. We would appreciate it, probably, unless you're a jerk.
If you're a jerk, don't check out our podcast, but you can keep listening to Into the Falls.
This is a no jerk zone.
We'll allow jerks to listen.
Yeah,
see,
that's the difference.
You can't be a guest or anything, but you can listen. I mean,
yeah, I guess technically we can't stop you if you're a jerk from just listening.
Oh, I can. Oh, I can and will. Oh,
okay.
I mean, you guys had a jerk on your podcast.
We had some jerk.
That's true. We did have some jerk.
Does that
on
not count as a jerk?
No, he was some jerk with a camera.
I thought he was that jerk with the camera.
No.
All right. Thank you for bringing us on to your Gravity Falls podcast from ours, from our family to yours.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy Pioneer Day from our
this
family to yours. Happy Pioneer
guess.
Day.
Happy Pioneer Day, everybody.
And don't step in that pile.
This has been Into the Falls. You can find me at Mabel Page Pines on Twitter and Instagram. That's Mabel, P-A-G-E Pines. I'm also May Page on YouTube and Film Knife on Medium and WordPress. That's where I post my film reviews and essays, editorials, etc. You can follow the show on Twitter at The Falls Cast, all one word, and Into the Falls Podcast on YouTube. And I will hand it off to AJ.
Well, you'll be happy to know I've made it a little easier nowadays to find me on socials. So if you want, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Tumblr at UncaAJ. That's UncaAJ. This podcast is hosted and produced by Mary McKeon and AJ Sanchez, and our theme song and some of the music is by Kevin MacLeod. Thanks so much for listening, and until next time, trust no one!
not the base!